entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 87, where we have conversations around coffee. In this episode, we'll discuss a great Christmas gift that I got, as well as a conclusion to the mouse story that Layton has been dealing with.
Yeah.
I'm Ruben.
And I'm Layton. And it is Sunday, January 11th, 2015.
You can reach out to us on Facebook and on Twitter at French Press Pod. We're also on Google Plus. You can email us, mail at FrenchPressPodcast.com. And you can also call 817-382-7769. Before we get into what I previously teased, I do want to take a look at our previous podcast where we talked about flying versus driving. And we're going to look at the polls. We had a poll.
The polls are in.
On the website.
Or the results are in.
And the results are in.
And what did those results say?
It was not close.
It wasn't.
80% prefer flying.
You know what that proves. It proves that
the majority of people are idiots.
No, they're not idiots. They just need some guidance. They need to be enlightened. They need to be educated. As long as they have teachable spirits, Ruben, it's okay. Just keep listening to the podcast. You'll be all right.
Tech tip real quick. We were talking about the do not disturb mode on your iOS device and on your OS X device. There is also a toggle for your OS X device, which is your computer, your Mac computer. If you...
Where is it, Ruben?
Well,
I need to know.
Your notifications come in the top right corner.
Yes.
That icon with three lines and three dots beside each line.
Yep.
That is your notifications.
Okay.
Now, to toggle it off,
right,
you would hold down the Option key on the keyboard, and then with your cursor, go over and click on that icon. It will then turn gray.
It did.
And now if you click on it, you will then notice a visible toggle switch where it says do not disturb, and then you can toggle it on or you can just toggle it back off.
Okay.
And then turn it back on. You can't toggle it back on from that icon. You need to go and hold down the Option key and hit the icon in the top right corner.
Actually, it has an on and off switch on mine.
But as soon as you switch it off,
yes,
and then make the menu disappear and then open it again, it's gone.
Oh, so you're right.
The only way to turn it on is by using the Option key on the keyboard.
Okay.
Holding that down and then pressing the notifications icon.
That is sweet.
So, glad I got that taken care of in a quick manner.
That was a quick manner.
I need to get my gift.
There's a gift?
That I got. Out of the way.
What gift is in the way?
All right, Layton, you probably noticed I had a coffee cup here.
I see a coffee cup in your hand.
What does it look like to you?
It looks like a normal, maybe a little bit bigger than a normal sized.
To the untrained eye.
To the untrained eye.
It looks just like a regular coffee mug.
Yeah, it does have a slightly, it looks more aeronomic.
There's a reason for that.
A handle.
Yes,
it looks like it has a special handle on it.
There's a very good reason for that. There's a button on this special handle, and if I press it, it spins a little propeller on the inside, and it will stir your coffee.
You can hear the little propeller running.
Can you? Yeah. So, you know, usually it's not a big deal if you just have cream in your coffee.
Right.
But if you ever want to add sugar or even mix hot chocolate, go ahead. We have some listeners we have an audience today. And their top duty is to fix my coffee right now. I love that sound.
That is a good sound.
And then the second of the two stooges is applying cream. Not going to go for the sugar today, but you can see... Layton, you know, it's not quite mixed to perfection yet.
Yeah, I'm seeing, clouds.
You can push the button.
I get to do the honors.
But it does get close to spilling, so be careful.
All right. That's good.
We will have a link on our website. You can buy it yourself from Amazon. And if you do, you will be helping out the show, because we will get about 10 cents back for your purchase.
Ooh, 10 cents from Amazon. I'll take it.
But yeah, it is called the self-stirring mug, and you can change the batteries by there's a lid at the bottom.
Okay.
Where the battery housing is.
What kind of battery? Just take AAA or like one of those cell batteries?
No, it's double or triple.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I got that out of the way, so now I can drink my coffee.
That is tremendous.
So we can get on to the conclusion.
Are we getting on to the conclusion?
Yes, we are.
I feel like we should save that for like last.
You think the mouse story should stay towards the end?
Yes.
One more tease then.
Okay.
I can still feel the effects.
Oh.
From that.
Did it?
From the end of that story.
Oh, yeah, you should. You well should.
All right. Carry on. You had some other story you wanted to get to.
I did. I don't even know when it was. I'm thinking maybe like last Saturday, maybe? Today's Sunday. It was like...
Was it yesterday or a week before?
It was like a week before.
Okay.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. My sister, she has a house.
Okay. Which one? You have two sisters,
right,
and each has a house.
Katie.
Okay.
All right. She has a mailbox. And apparently the previous owners of the house had backed into the mailbox. And so... Her mailbox is kind of like, you know, it has like a metal stand. It's basically just a concrete block for a base.
Mm-hmm.
It's real heavy. And then jutting out of that is a metal stem, if you will. And then attached to that stem is the mailbox itself. Anyways, that stem was kind of bent from her neighbors or the previous owners of the house backing into the mailbox with a truck.
Okay.
I think. Anyways.
So it's still that way. I mean, it's not like it was that way and it was fixed. It has been that way for
yes.
a year and a half or three
yeah.
years, whatever.
Okay, so last week then, her mailbox, it was already in bad shape, and then the actual door fell off. It was a doorless mailbox. And she decided, you know what, it's time to change. So she calls her faithful brother, Layton, to help her install a new mailbox.
I'm just curious, like, where do they take dying mailboxes?
To the mailbox hospital, well, the mailbox retirement home.
Okay.
Also known as the landfill.
Okay.
The land of Phil. Yeah, he takes care of them. Phil does, on his land, until they pass away peacefully. Anyways, so I go to her house. I pick her up, and I ask her, where do you want to buy this new mailbox? And
do you also need to buy the stand, the base, the concrete base?
It depends what kind of mailbox you get. But the one
I'm
we
talking
got—
about in her case.
In her case, we were, yeah, like the mailbox that we bought from our local Ace Hardware comes with, it's just, a concrete base.
Okay.
Also, like, the exact same style, pretty much, as her old one. Just new and improved.
Mm-hmm.
Looks newer. And is gray instead of white.
Okay.
All right. So, we go over to Ace, load this new mailbox on my dad's truck. And we had a little bit of trepidation, or at least the guy that was helping us at Ace had a little bit of trepidation because he was trying to... They have, like, almost like a bike, the same kind of style that you would use to lock up a bike. To like
to lock
a
up
rail.
The mailboxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that people wouldn't just run off of them. It's just like one long cable that's strung all the way around them with the padlock.
Okay.
Anyway, he was having issues getting the padlock unlocked because the padlock was frozen. Because it just so happened to be, I don't know, probably 0 degrees outside.
It's been chilly the last few days.
And it was like 7:30. In the evening. So it was like pretty much dark.
Pretty much dark. At 7:30, it's pitch black dark.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. Okay.
It may as well be midnight.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was dark. It was cold, whatever. But he managed to jimmy the key enough. Padlock unlocked. We were able to load that sucker up. And so fast forward. We get back to her house with this new mailbox. And it was pretty easy unloading the mailbox by myself. Just because you just kind of take it, slide it off the edge of the tailgate of the truck, and let gravity take its course, it was fine.
Really?
It was fine, yeah.
That was your plan?
Yeah, pretty much. And it worked out. It was fine. It was great. Whatever. The new mailbox was still in perfect condition.
Was the mailbox is attached to the post?
To this metal, concrete base. This concrete block.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was fine. The issue was the old mailbox. So first of all, she wanted to get it out of there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to like shake it a little bit. And like the base is frozen solid to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Like just from the ice that had collected over the winter. So I asked Katie for some help here. And so, mind you, Katie lives in a cul-de-sac. Like,
you should. That sounds like something dirty. You might want to explain it.
It's like a giant roundabout at the end of a lane. I don't know. And then there's houses that live that are all around this giant paved
circle,
if you will. I don't know. And this, I don't know how big this circle would be. Like, but the pavement itself is probably what, 75 feet?
Probably.
75 feet in diameter, whatever. And she lives as a, like, adjacent to this thing. And so we kind of need to be quiet, especially it's cold outside, just pavement. There's nothing to absorb the sound. So we're trying to be quiet mm-hmm. while we're doing this.
And I don't know if you thought about this, but in hindsight, you know, messing with a mailbox is a federal deal.
But, I mean, I had the owner of the property with me. This is her mailbox. It's fine.
But no one else knows that.
That's true. But anyways.
You have some oversensitive neighbors very willing to do the right thing.
Yeah. Too willing, actually. Anyways, so I asked Katie, like, Katie, I need your help getting this mailbox, like, loosened out of its icy prison.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, like, just trying to, like, shake it just in general by the stem that's jutting out of this concrete block. And it's not working. So I said, okay, we need to work together. We need to get into a rhythm of pull, push, pull, push.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, like we're both outside rhythmically pulling and pushing. And we suddenly got the thought, you know what? Maybe this isn't the best idea because it looks like we're just defiling this mailbox out here in public. This isn't going to look good.
Are there street lights?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So neighbors could see outside and they could see us. So then I got the brilliant idea. Oh, we have a truck here. Why don't we just pull it? Just pull it from its icy prison. So I get a tow rope or a tow strap out of my dad's truck. He's so thoughtful. You know, he is always prepared. And so I take this thing and I wrap it around the stump or like the base of it. Cause I was afraid, you know, if we pull it off of the mailbox, it might pull it out of the concrete block. Ah,
wow.
That would have been terrible. Anyway, so I pull it, I tell Katie, let's just pull this thing off. And she just thinks this is a terrible idea. And it's going to be so loud and it's going to wake up all the neighbors. And so she wants me to call dad first. Before I do this. So I called dad, and that was like his first suggestion. Well, just pull it out with the truck. I was like, yeah, totally. So I'm like all into this. And so I climb into the truck. Katie is in the truck with me. And then I do you know that song, The Final Countdown?
I think so.
Okay. I turned that on.
Ready or not?
Well,
or how does it?
It's like, it's more of like just the tunes like,
dramatic.
It's like a stadium jam.
Yeah.
Whatever. And gets you revved up. Anyway, so I told Katie to get out and like just watch the rope. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then once it gets tight, tell me. So she does. And I feel it tighten.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm like ready to rev this thing. So I play the music, like right when the drop comes, and then I like kind of like just like go for it. I kind of gun it a little bit, and the tires just spin. I was like, well, this is kind of a letdown. So, but then so like I, it spins a little bit. I rev, it spins.
Was it? It was obviously icy and snowy.
Yes,
a little bit.
And so then when I let go, it kind of like the truck just rolled back a little bit, and then I gunned it.
Oh, okay.
And so then it had some slack, and then some pull, and had momentum and inertia, and like physics just came together, and you just hear a mailbox flying. Oh, it was invigorating.
What kind of sound did it make as the mailbox base broke from the
just kind of sidewalk? Like a doop, and then you hear the mailbox, the metal, this metal mailbox slam onto the pavement, and just like everyone's lights turn on. And
serious?
No. But I there were people coming to their windows. There were people coming to their windows. I'm pretty sure I saw blinds moving. I was like, oh dear, well, we got to be quick about this, man. Cops are coming. And so then it was the issue of getting it onto the truck.
Okay. And they, I'm guessing they weigh probably like 50 to 75 pounds.
Yeah. Something like that. I actually don't know how much they weigh. All I know is that, you know, I had control of it. It's just, Ruben, I'm a little bit short. And this tailgate is a little bit high. And so it was difficult getting that final heave up under the tailgate. But we got it done. We got it done.
That's the important thing.
Yep. And in the end, Katie has a new mailbox. I have a broken back. And everything is as it should be. So, yeah, that's my story.
Very good.
Katie's new mailbox.
You know, people comment about how you're so funny.
Do they?
And you are.
I am?
But I honestly think these things happen to everyone. The stories you tell are not special to you.
Right.
These things happen to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that most of us don't know how to tell a story.
Right.
You are a good storyteller.
Okay, thank you, Layton. Ruben.
So, I want you to keep that close to your heart.
I will. I just keep it to myself as we broadcast it across the internet.
Remember, guys, as we mentioned last week, you are able to leave a comment by phone if that's easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can call in 817-382-7769. Also, hit us up on email, mail@frenchpresspodcast.com. And as we mentioned, we are on Facebook and Twitter and Google+. So,
before we get into the mouse story, can we take a little break?
We can.
Just take a quick break.
All right. We're back from that timely break. And Layton remembered he did have some feedback.
I forgot about the feedback we got. Wesley.
My cousin.
Your cousin. Wesley.
Yes.
He gave a presentation last night.
No, Wednesday night.
Well, Wednesday night, yes, but also last night to all of the area youth that were invited.
That's right.
Over at Cobb's Commons.
Yes.
And I attended.
Good.
And I enjoyed myself thoroughly, especially the ending, where we got to enjoy some Asian food.
Mm.
Not that the presentation was good, but both were sweet and
delectable. What was the difference from Wednesday night?
I don't know. I
wasn't you know what? Wednesday night was something else.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was
about
something with Thailand.
Thailand and like it sounded like a career center for former prostitutes.
Yes.
That's what it sounded like.
That
but I don't know how accurate that is. I wasn't there for the presentation on Wednesday night.
I've heard about the presentation a couple times.
Okay.
And you put it very well. That's
there we go.
What it was. Anyway, so Wesley gave a presentation Saturday night.
Yes.
Which I would like to say on air that I would have been there if I had not been in Indianapolis.
That sounds like a cop-out, Ruben.
Well,
no,
I was planning on going for a while.
It was for family.
With the family.
It wasn't just like personal time.
No.
But I was there.
Okay.
Enjoyed it. But we're not going to focus on the presentation itself, even though it was really good. Afterwards, Wesley comes over to me and says, "Hey, man, I listen to you guys. I listen to the French Press. And I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he said in the mountains of Tibet. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. If it's not, I know it was he did say mountains.
Somewhere just as amazing.
It was something mountainous, and it was over in Asia. and he was listening to us simultaneously. Ruben, we've gone global. We're all over the world. It's insane.
I'm actually getting butterflies in my stomach.
We're at least on two continents.
Well,
two of the seven continents. I predict that Antarctica is going to be the hardest one to get on. But you know what? You got to shoot for the stars to land on the moon. Yeah, so yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the mouse story, which is
the mouse hunt.
It has been a topic for the past probably 4 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe even 5 weeks.
Maybe even
four or five episodes.
The haunting of the mouse.
Just recap. What has happened? What was your first encounter? And then I promise, unlike Surreal, we're going to wrap this up tonight.
Yep.
This episode, it's going to be. There's going
wrapped
to
be, up.
Yes.
All right. So it all started with me playing online with Kyle. This was the first encounter. Me playing online with Kyle in my room, sitting in my butterfly chair that is so comfortable. And I look over and I see a shadow moving, and then a tail slipping out underneath my door. And I'm like, no.
And did you know immediately that it was a mouse?
Yes. I knew by the size of it. If it was like a rat, it wouldn't have been able to fit like underneath the door. Because rats are way too fat. Rascal rats. They're way too fat.
All right. And after that.
Then I set up a trap, sticky trap, mm-hmm. and I lay a townhouse cracker in the center of this sticky trap. The townhouse cracker covers up too much surface area of the sticky trap. Thus, the mouse gets caught in it temporarily and then manages to get out, leaving behind a wad of fur. Gross. And then, fast forward, like, probably 2 weeks, I'm laying in bed. I still have the traps down, thinking that the traps will keep the mouse out.
Hold. All right, and then what happened?
I want you to imagine laying in bed and hearing a stirring of something that sounds like a tube of crackers being rustled on top of your nightstand. And you shift over to look at it, and all you see is a tail sticking up, and you're paralyzed. You're frozen paralyzed. You can't do anything. And so, in your moment of confusion, the mouse senses it somehow and then runs down the wire of the lamp and down onto the floor and runs out of sight. And then you run to your father saying, "Dad! I found it again!"
The mouse lives.
The mouse still lives. And at that moment, I slept upstairs every night since then.
So about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
You've been forced to sleep outside of
your own
bedroom.
He's taken over.
On a makeshift couch.
A shifting of make couch.
Although it is close to your furnace, which is
No, Ruben, it is a couch. It's a makeshift bed.
That's true. Also, by your furnace, which is crackling and keeping you cozy and warm.
I love that furnace, that pellet-burning furnace. So soothing.
All right. And so, I think there's three phases.
Yeah.
We hit phase one and two.
All right.
And now we're ready for phase number three.
The third and final phase.
It just so happened that I was there.
You were there, Ruben.
That night.
You were with me in my moment of strife.
We were actually recording the French Press podcast, or sorry, the Irish Sports Talk podcast.
Right.
With the other hosts, Randall and Kyle.
And you remember, you actually asked me the previous week of the French Press, you asked me if I would be on.
That's right.
And I was waiting for my cue that night to be on and do an impersonation of the LSU coach, what is it, Lee Miles?
Les Miles.
Yeah, Lee Les Miles.
That's right. And so we were in here recording and getting towards the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you either opened the door or the door was open and you walked past. And I could see that there was something on your mind above and beyond impersonating Les Miles.
Yeah. I was way too nervous just for it to be about an impersonation on
so
the podcast.
So what happened while we were in here sitting discussing football?
Right.
What was happening outside these walls?
Okay, so I was sitting in my butterfly chair, rehearsing my lines. I'm just kidding. I was watching YouTube. Anyways, but I was sitting in my butterfly chair, and I'm sitting there looking on my iPad, and I look over, and I see something moving, and here comes the mouse, and it's in front of my door. And it looks like it wants to go.
Was your door closed?
Yes, it was closed to isolate, in case my iPad would make any noise. It would not
because
be recorded on your podcast. Because the
studio door and your bedroom door are right across from each other.
Right across the hall. So, I'm sitting in my butterfly chair. I look over, see the mouse kind of just sneaking, kind of hopping over, you know how rodents do. Over to where, that main hole is that it goes underneath the door, mm-hmm. that it is so thoroughly trodden, and it sees the sticky trap in front of the door, and it pauses. And I'm looking at it. And then I think it sensed my eyes glaring at it with disdain and hate and malice.
What, white-tailed deer have a tell when they're frightened, their tails stick up in the air.
Right.
Do you know, do mice have anything like that?
They do, except instead of its tail going up, it's its ears.
Okay.
So it sees a sticky trap, and then it pauses, and then it slowly turns over and looks at me. And is like, this is what it's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I have been had. And then it turns around and runs back into my closet.
Okay.
And I am done. I am done. I am done. I decide there now, there and then, that this ends tonight.
It had behooved thee for the final time.
Unbeknownst to it, it was about to die. Its end was drawing near.
All right. So
did you,
what happened then?
So then I start preparing. I start getting out all of my pitchforks and my knives and my swords and my torches, my throwing stars, throwing knives, any sharp object that I can get my hands on, which isn't much. And I start preparing. I throw stuff, everything that could possibly be under. I throw it on top of my bed because I'm pretty sure the mouse can't get on top of my bed. Okay. There are no cords running up to my bed. And so by that time, I'm also running out of the room to, I don't know, I was looking for a sign, some help. And then...
Is that when we made eye contact?
We made eye contact then. And then you sent me a text from your laptop.
That's right, I had forgotten about that text.
And you said... I don't even know what you said.
Did I ask you?
You asked
if you're
me
ready. At one point, I asked you, "Are you ready to be on the podcast?"
And let me see.
Let's see what you responded with.
What I responded with. I can't find it anywhere on my phone.
I think I just texted you if you were ready.
Yes.
And then we were getting close to the end of the podcast. We were ready for your segment.
Right.
And so we just stopped recording. No, it was through text. Because I remember we stopped the podcast and said, we've got a mouse to deal with.
Right.
And so right. You must have sent it through the text.
I did. Yeah, you text me, are you ready? And I said, no, I'm catching this mouse in my room. And then And then you stopped your podcast.
Yes.
And you told all of your Irish fans.
We had bigger problems to deal with than
just a podcast.
Yes. At one point, okay, the mouse is in your room, which has a closet and a bed that takes up a huge part of the room.
Yeah, it's a queen-size bed.
And at one point, we scared it out of the closet.
Yes.
Under your bed.
Well, we thought under my bed.
And it was too frightening to look under your bed because you couldn't get away from the bed. If you put your head underneath the bed, you were right. You were under the bed, pretty much.
Yes.
And so if the mouse was there, he would be in your face.
He's a mouse in your face.
And I know I had probably been a little bit unfeeling or not sympathetic towards your situation.
Right.
But being face-to-face with a mouse, it's frightening.
It's a haunting feeling.
It is.
This little rodent.
It's terrifying.
Invading your space.
It is.
Ugh. Anyways, so, mind you, there's me, Kyle, you, and Randall. There's four men. Four men on a quest to stop this evil rodent.
Yeah.
And Randall isn't brave enough to face what I would guess is one of his greatest fears, and that is mice. So he stays outside the room. And me, you, and Kyle are in my room. And we begin searching. And Kyle immediately, like he normally does.
I have to admit, Kyle did look the bravest.
Yes, but he was also the most faint of heart. Because we searched for like 2 minutes. And he's already like, oh, dude, we'll never find it. But seriously, just lay down a trap. That's the only way you can catch these things.
That is true. There was multiple times when he was ready to give up the search. And just go get a trap that snaps.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
Let a trap do the work for him. No. I was like, Kyle, we can't be passive about this anymore.
So we kept on searching.
And then I decided I'm going to lift just to see if it's underneath my dresser where I keep my clothes. I'm going to lift out the two bottom drawers. I lift out drawer number one. Nothing. Except for some mouse turds. And I think maybe like a chewed on like sucker or something like that. Something gross that mice like to nibble on. Ugh. I lift out drawer number two. And then it was awoken. And then it bolts underneath the bed.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
By that time, Randall he was feeling guilty about not helping us. So he pretends to help us.
Yes.
He was handing something in to Kyle.
Yes.
And when he does that,
he opens the door.
He opens the door, and the mouse bolts from the bed out to the living room. Which, and it goes between his legs. And he didn't take too kindly to that.
Okay, which, in my opinion, was a bad decision on the mouse. Because we are bigger. We need more space. To move around.
We're big clumsy lummoxes.
To navigate.
Especially Kyle.
We navigate space better than we do tight spaces.
Right.
So I felt more comfortable out in the living room. It gave more room to jump backwards and forwards and over things.
Right.
So I was glad he was no longer in your bedroom.
Exactly.
But let's just give an overview. What does the main area of your basement look like?
Okay. So on the south end of the basement, we have the stairs coming down. From the stairs, we head eastward. And that's just a living room.
Yes.
Okay. So we walk through the living room, which is a fairly big area. What, 20
yes.
by 20?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then...
Right beside that is kind of like a kitchen area.
Is a kitchen area.
Which is about half that size.
Right.
Third that size.
Sure. And then...
Or two-thirds that size.
In between, like, connected to the living room... is then a hallway going north.
Mm-hmm.
And on the north side of the living room, there's a hallway. And in that hallway is the bathroom. And then two doors, which are to the right is my bedroom. To the left is
the studio.
And so we close all the doors. Once it gets out to the living room, we close all the doors. I had the brilliant idea.
You were brilliant.
I had the brilliant idea that also connected to... the kitchen area is a door to the boiler room. And I decided that there's quite a gap in between the linoleum of the kitchen and the bottom of the door to the boiler room. And I knew that if it would go into the boiler room, we'd never be able to find it because there was stuff that's immovable.
Yes.
Immovable stuff.
And there's lots of crevices and mice haven.
Exactly. So I put...
like some rugs.
Yes. It was my bathroom mats.
Okay.
Underneath the door, the crack of the door, so it would not be able to go underneath there. And then once I did that, we started the hunt. We're talking flipping couches over.
Okay, and here's what we had as weapons. We started out with, you had the rail of your drawer.
Of my drawer, yes.
And I started out with a wooden, Kyle had a wooden shoe from Holland.
Yes.
And I started out with some kind of a box about a foot and a half long and 6 inches wide. And I opted for a shovel.
Okay.
Because I could strike at farther range. I wouldn't have to get as close to the mouse.
What kind of shovel was this?
It was the closest shovel. Well, it was the only shovel.
It was the only shovel in the room.
It was a wooden shovel.
Yep.
And it is an antique shovel.
Yes, it's an antique shovel.
Yeah.
I think it's from Haiti.
Antique from Haiti? I don't know if Haiti's old enough to have antiques.
You'd be surprised how old Haiti is.
Well,
I should ask him.
Anyway, so that's what I was armed with. It went from corner to corner, and we would kind of chase it. It went under some
couches.
Kyle was very good at flipping couches up.
Yeah, he would pretty much hold the couch up, like, from one end, and then we would kind of look underneath. It's like, oh, there he is! And then he'd go scurry.
And he was fast.
Oh, that little rodent.
He did slow down.
Yeah, we tired him out.
We did tire him out, and we were getting tired out, too.
Yeah, we were breathing heavily.
At one point, and yelling, like, loud.
Yes.
In fact, so loud that your parents did come down then.
Yeah, and normally we can make as much noise as we want, and they're unaffected.
Yeah. At one point, I was between the two couches. The living room really shifted as far as where things were, but at one point I was between two couches, and the mouse was coming right at
you, Ruben.
And I did some acrobatic twist and move.
I was impressed.
Also while stabbing with the shovel.
Right.
Trying to destroy it. And you guys made a comment that, man, I can't believe you couldn't believe I didn't hit my foot.
Well, Kyle was watching. He was close by you.
Okay.
And he was watching you jab at the mouse as it was coming towards you. And yeah, he said that you were really close to cutting off your own foot.
Well, and in fact, I didn't, there was so much adrenaline going through me, I didn't realize it, but I did actually hit my toes. I didn't realize it until the next day.
Were your toes sore?
A little bit black and blue.
Oh, my goodness.
Just the one.
Okay. Wow.
That was the pain I alluded to previously.
I see.
The memories.
Still affected.
Anyway.
And so we did a lot of shifting around. We finally got it isolated under this one chest.
Mm-hmm.
And we had moved the couches away from the chest.
Yes.
We'd moved the piano, some piano books, some tin barrels that were, I think, also supposed to be antiques. Moved those away. And so it was just underneath this one chest. And we were in the process of moving those tin barrels. Randall was. And when he moved those tin barrels, the mouse comes running out, and it goes straight for that boiler room.
Yeah.
And Ruben, with his antique shovel that could, you know, be, you know, sold for a pretty penny, does the striking blow on top of this mouse while it's on top of my shower mat, so that there's
trying to get under the boiler door.
Blood going everywhere, and cracks the shovel on top of this mouse's face.
Yes. That is true. I don't know if anybody heard, but you did mention that the shovel was cracked.
Yes.
I felt terrible. I feel terrible.
There's a hairline fracture.
Yeah.
Nothing that little bit of glue couldn't be.
Randall said his brother, who is a craftsman, able to insert glue between the fracture.
Really?
And then take a press and press it together to the point where it is no longer
visible.
Fractured.
Oh, I see. Well, that's handy.
So I will be mentioning that to your mother. Because you had said, I'd asked you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how upset is she?
She is slightly more than agitated. So I would...
Is agitated 5?
I would say agitated would be like 3.5.
Oh, okay.
And so, she's only at 5. She's at 5.
Oh, good, good.
But once she hits 6, man, I wouldn't want to be you. She's not at 6 yet.
Well, and I think she thinks Randall did it.
Oh, good.
Because she told Randall, because Randall gave the idea, my brother can fix this. And like a little bit, couple minutes later, after some steam had settled, she said that, don't worry about Randall, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. And you just kind of sit there smiling.
No, I did remind her. I don't know if she heard.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was kind of quiet, but I did say that, you know, it was
you just kind of under your breath. Oh, man. Boy, I got to go. it's cold out. Winter's coming. Time to go. But yeah, that's pretty much
the mouse story. That mouse had a couple little areas that he was living in.
Yeah, he had a couple of habitats.
He had one in your closet.
One in my closet.
And one in the living room area by like where some guitars were hanging.
Right. And also, it looked like my dresser, underneath my dresser, was a little bit of a... It was kind of like the lobby before it got to the closet, which was where it was its main home was. Yeah, it would kind of use that as like the mat that you would brush your feet off in.
Yeah,
and then it would proceed on to the main living quarters.
Do you think it's probable that there's only one mouse?
I think it's very probable.
Why would a mouse live by itself?
Because Ruben, mice are disgusting creatures that even hate their own kind. So they try to isolate themselves completely from all sort of life.
But misery loves company.
Right.
So I would see a mouse as enjoying company, whether it be mama mouse, daddy mouse, and a whole bunch of baby mice.
Mices. Ruben, you're right. It does enjoy company. But I was the company that it needed. And that's why it stayed so long. And that's why it's gone.
When will you be able to sleep down in your bedroom? Because you still have not slept down there.
Mostly
because everything is in shambles from the results of, you know, cleaning everything up.
Yes. It's not a welcoming place, Ruben. And the reason it's still in shambles is because there is shampooing that must be done. The carpets will be shampooed. And until that happens, I won't be staying down here. Except to record a podcast or two.
Okay. All right. I have to admit, I haven't been... That night was more exciting than anything I've been a part of in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think the only rush that I've received since then was also another animal-related incident when, at Thanksgiving time, our uncle-in-law neutered your parents' cat.
Yes.
And I got to hold its head and front right paw with a towel as it was being neutered. That was also quite a rush and probably just as bloody as the mouse hunt. Mm. But it lived through that.
Yeah.
This mouse didn't live through it.
All right. Very exciting.
Adventure.
Layton, I don't have any more comments. Thoughts.
Yeah, I'm actually exhausted just from
talking
about reliving the account.
I did listen to the first episode of that voice podcast.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed, so I'm looking for something else. But I will continue looking.
All right. Okay.
And one of these days I will attempt a impersonation.
Okay. I can't wait.
I've got one in mind.
All right.
And I've been it's one of the ads that comes on our radio. I think it's for buying houses.
Okay.
So I'm working on that one.
Speaking of ads, have you heard that ad for the hypnotist? There's a hypnotist that's like, he says like, oh yeah, like, you know, weight loss is so difficult and so is smoking. So like this hypnotist is saying like, you know, you just come to one of my sessions, he'll hypnotize you and you won't have any issues eating the right foods or never smoking. And he has several different ads where he has like different people on for testimonials. And the one woman, She sounds so ridiculous. Like, she's like, I smoked for like 20 years, and after just one session, it was so easy to quit. And like, she has like the most raspy voice. It's like, yeah, it sounds like it.
Oh, I have seen some of those.
It's disgusting.
They are hilarious.
Oh.
All right, well, we did skip last week's podcast, but hopefully the mouse story made up for that.
Yeah.
We are planning on recording next week, so be listening, be ready for that. And that's all I've got, so have a good week, everyone.